Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody.
Yes. How was your Christmas 2016?
Goodly. How about you?
Oh, it was the same. You're sounding nice and chipper today, Cindy. It's good. The holidays the holidays didn't wear you down a bit, did they?
No.
Not at all. Well, we'll just go ahead and jump right into the show today. I had the chance here in recent weeks to get to know a coach in the Los Angeles area who has clients not only in LA, but all around the world. And she is a graduate of the same program that I graduated from, Cindy.
Nice. So excited to talk with her.
We're brothers and sisters here of a feather. We didn't know that. We didn't know that going in. We started talking and talking about some commonalities and some of our differences as well and what we do and how we do it. And so without further ado, I'll go ahead and just have our guest, Jen Kleiner, come on board and introduce herself. And Jen, welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. And it's just a pleasure to have you on.
Welcome, Jen.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
We're excited to hear about what you do.
Yeah, if you can, give us an overview. Yeah, kind of introduce yourself and talk about what you do. You have an exciting population that you work with. And go ahead and kind of give us the rundown.
I really, I'm a very lucky woman. I get to work with an amazing group of creatives. I work with all kinds of artists. People who are fine artists, people who are singer-songwriters, actors, writers, producers, directors, musicians, athletes, all different kinds of creatives. And it's a wonderful opportunity for me to get to support people becoming the fullness of themselves while learning how to love their lives along the way. I think most of my clients and most people in the entertainment industry or in any kind of industry in which they're trying to sell an aspect of themselves through their work, there is a huge emotional burden that comes with that. And really helping people to let go of the pain of living result-oriented and really start to learn how to love process-oriented living. And
ooh, I love
they
that.
Can seek their source of joy through daily life and learning how to have a foot inside of the vision and also have a foot inside of mundane life and learn how to be their best friend and walk themselves through, you know, a myriad of moments, many that are not pleasant, but learning how to really hold themselves through whatever they walk through and see how it serves them on the way. Because life is really a school and we're all here to become athletes and really, you know, emotional athletes, which is my message, no matter what. I'm also an artist, so I have a lot of mediums in which I express myself. But for me, the core message is wanting to raise emotional literacy and teach people how to love each other and love themselves through differences, as opposed to hate each other and push away from differences. So that's really kind of my goal and my hope. And I just love midwifing wonderful people through the process of creation.
Nice. Can I ask you what led you to the coaching profession and this specialty field of being a creative coach? Can you talk us through
Absolutely.
That a little?
Well, you know, I have a very special circumstance in which I grew up with many therapists. I think there are now 15 on both sides of my family.
Wow.
So I come from a family of helpers, and it's just really in my DNA. And I grew up going with my parents to a lot of ashrams and personal development workshops. They actually met in the S training back in the 70s. And their relationship was really about personal development. and spirituality. And they had a company called Deep Self Explorations that had a isolation tank in their house, which was my bedroom as a baby. So I shared a bedroom with an isolation tank. And then my bedroom became their therapy office. They both were therapists. And I guess I've sort of been in that therapy world since I was born, you could say. So that was really the beginning of my development. And I always loved stories and storytelling. As a kid, I would call the DC Public Library system because every week they'd have a new story they would read you over the phone. And I just loved hearing people's stories. You know, and I think that's a trait you need to have as a coach or a counselor is really,
I think that's
loving,
really important.
Yeah,
I think
loving
that's really
stories
great.
And loving, right? Helping people go through transformation, which is what a story teaches us, right? It takes us through a doorway, through a shift, a change, an inside out transformation. And it's just, it's wonderful that I'm able to work as both a coach and a creative in storytelling. I chose not to go to school for psychology. I made a pact with my cousin that neither of us would become shrinks. It was a blood pact, and he thinks I broke it, even though I'm still not a shrink. I'm just a coach. But I went to film school, undergrad and graduate film school, first at UC Santa Cruz. And then I did AFI's directing program. And I loved it. But I, you know, to make bread and butter, I actually was working in the fashion industry. And I was doing celebrity PR and fashion styling, first for Calvin Klein and then for Burberry, and then on my own, dressing Guy Pearce for several years. But in that world, a lot of what I was doing was coaching.
Right.
And as a director, a lot of what you're taught is how to coach people. And it just kind of was a natural fit for me as a way to be me, even if I couldn't be directing a movie at the time. I could help people be directing their lives in a way that really improved. And so some of my friends in the fashion world started benefiting from my coaching and started recommending me to other people. And it became a word of mouth business. And it all of a sudden chose me as I was in the midst of pursuing a screenwriting and directing career. So it's been such a gift for me that I have been able to, you know, take care of myself through helping people that I understand inside and out and people that I love. And the other thing I love about my work is it helps me to be in the position of really rooting for my fellow creatives. I think there's a pervasive issue in my field and in all fields, really, this sense of lack. Like everybody's breathing in the smog, especially in LA, the fear of lack. There's not enough time. There's not enough rules. There's not enough money. There's not enough, you know, like I'm going to age. There's so much about what's not enough. It's just such lack mentality. It's so hard to be connected. And most people I know talk about the isolation they feel there. And a lot of what I help people focus on is grounding deeper and tethering beneath the smog of the lack and learning how to get connected to what having is. And having isn't just about achieving your goal. Having is about experiencing what's now in the moment that you love. What can you have that you love right now? What feels like having? Because when you identify with being allowed to have, things flow more easily to you. When you identify with, you know, not being allowed, it's a lot harder to get what you want. So a lot of what I'm doing with people is helping them shift, you know, their thinking and really see how they themselves are the source of certain blocks in their life and really what steps are necessary to love themselves to the next level, not shame or blame themselves, not, you know, use fear as motivation, because most people use fear and lack as a motivator. And I really am trying to help people learn how to use inspiration and self-connection as a motivator.
Well, I can certainly see how the profession chose you. And I love what you said about it just sort of grew silently through referrals, your business, although you did go get some training to learn the skill set of coaching, even though you had obviously the innate ability and gift already. You did get some professional training.
Exactly. It felt really important for me to be able to know that I knew what would happen in a professional coaching program, that that my values were in alignment with it. I had already been coaching for a few years, really many years before I went and got the certification. But when people started asking me to speak publicly, it felt really important to me to have done that program. So I did, and I'm really glad I did it. And one of the things Bruce and I had been discussing about the school we attended was that the main message is so valuable. Even though it seems simple, it's actually so important. And it's important in every relationship. And it's something I've studied in Imago relationship therapy developed by Harville and Helen Hendricks. And it's the mirroring and the dialogue process. And it's a really important tool in life and working with clients to allow them to wring out the sponge and really get heard.
Yeah,
really,
I think it's so important. Yeah.
Right, to get outside of needing to defend a position when they really get seen and gotten. And so I love being able to use that tool with people and also teach them that tool to use with their colleagues and their friends and their family and their loved ones, really, especially when things are difficult and people have very polarized positions and are, you know, feel like their positions are the only position, you know,
the right position,
mirroring, right, or the right position. The work of the dialogue and mirroring really allows people to cross the bridge into someone else's world and perspective without losing their own.
Right. And it's so validating to the person you're listening to. It's so, so validating.
It is so validating and it's so healing, because when somebody feels validated, they put down the sword of needing to prove you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, this is a yes and reality. Doesn't have to be an either or reality. And in relationships and in business and in life, you can't have a win if it's a win-lose. It has to be a win-win to be a win. So, you know, when life feels like it's a lose, we got to find a way to see the win. And there's always a way to see the win. Because what I love about storytelling, and Joseph Campbell really taught us this so much, it's like, if you're not, you know, if you're going through hell, it's like you keep on going. I think Churchill said this, but it's the same as what Campbell meant, which was, if you're in a bad part of your story, it's not the end of the story.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
You've said so many interesting things.
Empowering people is really important to me.
You've said a lot of interesting things. I love in the beginning, you were talking about people, you know, living this results-oriented way and maybe converting them through coaching into more of a process-oriented, being present for their lives instead of results-oriented. Can you talk a little bit about what you may do to help encourage that crossover?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just want to honor, I have so many wonderful teachers in my family. I have such incredible therapists and parents and therapist sister and therapist step parents and aunt and uncles and lots of people who really taught me. I'm so lucky that I've been surrounded by such conscious people. And I also want to acknowledge some of the people outside of my family that's helped me to really get to where I am. And you know, one of them is a woman named Marcia Sheldon. Another person is a man named Larry Novak, and then a woman named Catherine Woodward Thomas, who I met, probably over 13 or 14 years ago when I was working in film development before I went to AFI. And Catherine has written a book called Calling in the One and Conscious Uncoupling. And when I began with Catherine, I was working as an energy healer, and I was renting space in her office. And then she offered an exchange for me to come in and assist in her workshops for Calling in the One in exchange for rent. So I started doing that. And, you know, the book is really about calling in yourself and learning how to call in your best life. And I think working in that structure with her and doing so many courses with her, that really, really stuck with me. And I really got to see how important, and all these teachers got to show me how important it is to Learn how to love the meantime. Learn how to love yourself. You can't really call in someone to love you unless you love you. You know, we have relationships with life and with people that are mirrors of ourselves. And when we live result-oriented, and it's all about I'm in lack until I achieve this result, then I'm allowed to feel good about myself, then I'll have this, this, and this, and therefore allowed to feel like this.
Very future-oriented, yeah.
Right, very future-oriented, but it's also unconsciously saying about yourself, I am not allowed to feel that way yet. I'm not allowed to feel that way until I do this. Mm-hmm, I'm not allowed to love myself until that happens. I'm not allowed to, you know, like love my life until. And there's this fear that if you did love your life or you did, you know, enjoy the now, that somehow you would get off track. And so many people live so miserably on their way to what they want.
You fall behind.
And
you fall
behind. Don't know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, or they beat themselves up and their inner critic just wreaks havoc when they're not there, when they think they should be there, or when things aren't working out the way they think it should. And, you know, it's really hard for people sometimes when they're so invested in something outside of themselves as the source of their happiness. And when they don't get it, they feel like power has been taken away from them, like your happiness has been taken away from them. And a lot of what I'm doing is empowering people to see that happiness comes through them. It doesn't just happen to them. You know, life happens through you. And learning how to see that is so important. Learning how to really love yourself to where you want to be instead of hating yourself to where you want to be is so important. And I'm so grateful that I had so many wonderful teachers help me get there. And this last year, I just trained in internal family systems therapy, which is parts therapy. And I'm so in love with this work. It's so healing, profoundly healing. I'm actually going to be working with them as a filmmaker as well. We're partnering to do a documentary.
Oh, that's great.
But what I love about this work the most is that it's so liberating to the parts of us that have so many burdens and triggers, because most of the time, we all are living inside of our parts. We all are living inside of some aspect of ourselves that's wanting something or needing something or heard about something or in the past or in the future. It's always like not present, right? And what the theory really talks about is that we all have a self. And most of the time, it's hard to feel connected to self because we're inside of parts. And parts are always acting and reacting. And a lot of what I'm doing is helping people recognize their parts and learn how to get connected to self. And self is like the loving inner parent that allows everything, that is okay with everything, that really doesn't have an agenda, that, you know, feels calm and compassion and curiosity and courage and, you know, caring. And it's, you know, the essence of where we have higher self-connection and connection to divine. And that's really where, when people are living from self, they're okay to walk themselves through whatever's happening. And when they're living in parts, you know, they're really subject to the emotional polarization that comes with the feelings of our parts. And it's not that we're supposed to get out of part living. You know, it's more like we're learning how to embrace our parts and love our parts and speak for our parts, instead of always just being triggered and speaking from our parts. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. That's amazing stuff you're talking about. The other thing that was interesting to me is the process you take people from, I think you said, from feeling like they're always in a state of lack, like moving through life feeling lack instead of having. How do you move them from lack to actually being present with that thought process of having day in, day out?
Well, I guess it's important to give context, because like, who am I to be telling people how to do that unless I've been through it? I just want to say that first, because it sounds like it's, oh yeah, sure. But it's not so easy. You know, I am definitely someone who has a part inside that can be very result oriented and very, you know, criticizing of myself when I'm not where this part wants me to be, when it wants me to be there, you know?
Right.
And I had a dear friend of mine who died of a heroin overdose, one of my best friends that I went to graduate school. And, you know, he was suffering from such a terrible inner critic that was so upset that he wasn't where it wanted him to be. And he didn't want life to be the way it was at the time, and, you know, was wanting him to be somewhere else. And so checking out of where life was, because it wasn't where he wanted to be and it wasn't allowing him to source happiness where he was. And when that happened, it really rocked my world. This is 2010. It rocked my world so strongly. I went through such a dark time, and it really taught me. I was in such a dark place in myself of feeling like I hadn't achieved what I wanted by the time I had wanted to. And it taught me my grief, like that what really mattered was wanting to be here and wanting to find something to love every day, even if it's not the result you were wanting to achieve. Mm-hmm. That finding something to love was actually the most empowering thing I could do, even if it's taking a walk around the block and finding a tree I liked and a, you know, flower I could smell and a doorway I thought was pretty, you know, and a building that was beautiful. That was how I got myself out of being so depressed. It was like needing to find a way to love what's here, even if it's not what I thought should be.
Right. And that seems like a simple process that most people could relate to and understand.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and my hope is that I'm able to, you know, translate a lot of personal development work in a way that feels accessible to people. And I feel very lucky that I've been, you know, have had a foot in both worlds, and that I've done so much work in, you know, industries that are, you know, can be very toxic, but very powerful and incredible, both the film and fashion industries. And then also having a foot in the world of healing and transformation and personal development my whole life. Mm-hmm. I love being able to be a bridge and share tools and emotional literacy with people, and help them feel more deeply connected to other people and themselves than they ever have. That's such a gift. It's like watching someone be liberated and get free and feel safe with themselves is the greatest thing. It's such a gift and an honor. I want to tell stories.
I love the part about storytelling. I think everybody has a story to tell, and we really honor a person by being fully present. And I think that's such a valuable thing a coach can offer somebody, is somebody who's fully present, for you to complete your story, not to cut you off, not to give their opinion, not to, you know, try to change your mind, but to let you finish, you know, completely.
Yeah, it's space
really
for you.
Yeah, it's just a really, really cool thing that most people don't have in their life. There's not somebody who's going to sit and listen to them that intently and be present with
them. Most people feel like they need to fix it.
Right.
Or they want to should you into, you know, making it better.
Or
and it
give
makes
an opinion.
Sense why they want to give an opinion and tell you how to fix it. And it makes sense why people want to do that, especially when they can feel your pain in their bodies and they think they need to find a way to fix it so the pain will go away in themselves.
Exactly.
And that's called empathy. And all it is the need to just allow the feeling. You don't have to change it. You don't have to do anything about it. You just need to allow it. Mm-hmm. So many people are trying to run away from feelings, and it's just learning how to be with them.
Yeah, they just want it over. They just want it over, the conversation, the feeling, the experience. So, being able to sit with it and being trained as a coach to develop those skills, I guess is the way to put it, really can enhance an experience for a client. Is it possible for you to maybe share with Bruce and I a success story of a client without really, you know, giving away, you know, who or what, or maybe just some examples that really lift you up in terms of knowing there's purpose in what you do? Am I still on?
You're on.
Oh, we lost the guest?
It was, man.
That was a great question, by the way.
That was some good timing. It's like, man, well, I'm out, deuces. Oh, wait, here she is again.
Okay.
They're trying to reach her now, folks.
That's funny. Sometimes technical issues come up, but.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, if I forget the question, Bruce, maybe you'll remember.
Yeah, I'll remember.
Hi, you've reached Jen Kleiner at.
There she is.
Let's see. That was her voicemail. I don't know if that's her. Jen, are you there? Nope, not there yet. But
she may actually be still talking, thinking she's on. You know how that sometimes we go on, and there's a little bit. We apologize to our listening audience for.
Hi, you've reached Jen Pliner at Intuitive Artists.
Well, now you know how to reach Jen.
Well, she's still on the horn. She's still talking.
She's probably still talking.
Really,
she's fabulous, isn't she? Fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, she's just covers a lot of ground, and I love to hear about. I too have received training from Harville Hendrix and the Imago therapy, and back in the 80s.
At Intuitive Artists.
I tell you, she'll
probably realize that she's offline, which is, it's fine too. I mean, if she can't connect back. We're honored to have had her I could have listened to her for a couple hours. She had some really good stuff to share with us and our audience. As coaches, we love to listen to the different specialties that the coaching profession brings and the incredible individuals that practice it. And we learn from each other. So as hosts for the radio show,
hi.
There you are. Sorry for the technical difficulty.
Hi.
Do you probably talk?
That's okay, it's retrograde. It's just so normal now.
Exactly. We were going to ask you if you could before you dropped out, if you could share with us an example of a successful client that you worked with without telling too much of the particulars and whatnot. If you could share something with us for our listeners.
Yeah. I had a client who was an actress who hadn't worked in over a year, and when we had talked, she was really identifying with feeling like an outsider and feeling like being, she just wasn't identifying with being on the inside, and she wasn't identifying with the part inside that was connected to the people and the community she wanted to be a part of. And we did some work around, the blocks that were keeping her from feeling connected and what it would be like. What's the difference? What is the having experience of being connected to feeling like you belong and really owning the sense of belonging and not having to prove anymore that you belong, but getting to be the you that belongs, like you had permission, and to feel that sense of belonging without the need for the role to prove the sense that you're allowed to belong. And it's that same shift from, needing result to give you yourself permission to love yourself. It was the opposite, the inside out version. Mm. She got inside of really seeing that she was allowed to give herself approval and feel like she belonged without needing it from someone else. And within a week, she booked a massive movie, and then other roles started coming in. And that's where, I ended up getting a lot of referrals because people wanted to know how that happened. So,
that's fabulous.
It's really about a shift in self. It's a shift in self and a shift in identity and parts.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the specific methodologies? Was it through narrative, storytelling, imagery? Can you share some of the vehicles by which she was able to make those connections
for herself in that situation?
I think
guided imagery is really important. Giving someone the experience, taking them through a story where they get to experience the circumstances of what it would be like if they were allowed to feel successful, and what would that be like. And having a vision, it's like really getting in, because most of the time we know what we want, but we only know what it feels like to not have it. And
right.
We only identify with the feeling of not having it. So people need the experience of what it would feel like if they had it. They need the circumstance in which they could imagine it could be possible. And that's partly, I remember learning that in Meisner when I was in AFI, in the directing program. We had to do 2 years in Meisner and creating circumstances in which you could imagine something and react authentically. That's really what that is giving people a vision in which they could feel something, that helping people get to a positive feeling, helping people find the pathway in themselves to the thing they want. It's like a lot of people, when they want a relationship, they want a relationship, but they're so identified with being single, or identified with the bitterness of not having the relationship, or identified with the loneliness of not having that relationship, you know? And it's really hard to attract in like the fulfillment of what you want a relationship to be when you're inside of the not having of it and the lack of it. Like, I think fulfilling that the fulfillment of it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, you were talking earlier about like moving somebody from sort of that lack mentality into the having. So this process that you were talking about in working with people's blocks and utilizing a visualization of actually seeing yourself there sounds like one of the ways that you move them from feeling just thinking and being stuck in not having something, the lack of not having it, into having it, and recognizing that can be really, it's really something that can happen. I don't know, Jen, if you see this or realize this, but I have. You can, when you do a little bit of block work with people and you look at their thought processes and you point it out and you work through it, it's pretty quick how it can happen sometimes, you know? You know what I mean? Where they turn that around, that thinking, imagine the success, or, you know, just completely rephrase it in their minds, can really make a significant immediate impact. And it sounds like, how could that happen so quick? I've seen it. I've done it with people. I've seen it change really rapidly. And it's almost like, how can that happen? And I think it's just not questioning it. It happens because it happens. Because they've been moved. They've been moved to a different view and a different lens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so I use guided imagery. We do a lot of talking about, you know, just discussing what it would be like if things worked out. And, you know, we talk and we really learn to embrace the parts that are in opposition to things working out, and learn how to see them and not try and get away from them, or, you know, shame or blame them. But all parts need to be welcome, and we need to understand their story and their desires and their needs, and become the best parent to our different parts. You know, there's parts of people who really want success, and then parts of them that are very afraid of what would happen if they got it. And there are parts of people who want a relationship, and then they're very afraid of what would happen. You know, it's like we need to be able to address all aspects and not be afraid of the things you don't want to happen.
Do you find that, for instance, with what I do, I do a lot of executive coaching, and a subset of that is sobriety coaching. We talked about that, or sober coaching and recovery coaching. And then there's straight up executive coaching that's not related to substances. And it was, I can tell you that there are certain clusters that I think executives that I see in my practice struggle with. Would you say in your practice that there are certain types of things that your creatives, artist folks struggle with?
Absolutely.
Can you share a little, what would those be, you think?
I think, you know, one of the first things that jumped into my mind is the sad artist stigma. This idea that if you don't have some pain to access, that you can't create great work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it, you know, that if you're not in some kind of drama, that you can't, you know, really feel. It's helping people shift into getting to know that it's safe to inspire themselves forward instead of, you know, shame, blame, create pain.
What is that called again? The sad artist, what would you call it again?
Stigma.
Stigma. Okay. Yes. Yes.
This belief that you have to be in misery
miserable.
To create great work.
You have to be
it's
miserable.
Not true.
To be creative.
I actually find that when people are in self, they are so tuned and tapped and turned on. They're so, that's an Abraham Hicks term, but they're so connected in the present moment and intuitive that they're just bringing forth what's, you know, there, and it's just profound. And they just, you know, they have incredible downloads and incredible inspiration, and they don't have to, you know, get themselves into a miserable state to get there. It's just a method that they were taught. It's not the only way.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to suffer to be creative.
You don't have to suffer to be creative. Not at all. You know, you actually are allowed to go fishing for inspiration to be creative. You don't have to suffer. You can learn how to bring out your, one of the things I teach, it's like a little method about learning how to really bring out the sponge. That's what we taught. You know, we do a download where people just share like a dialogue mirroring what's going on. And then, you know, what would it be like to go fishing for inspiration? How could you, where do you start? How do you get to start right where you are? You know, learning how to break down the moment and make it okay to be there. One of the tools I teach people is, it's so simple. I use my iPhone and I say like, okay, you need to find 5 pictures in the room without moving or without leaving this room that you see right now. What are 5 things that are cool or beautiful that you haven't noticed? And notice, and it's a way to really kind of get yourself revved up to really prime the pump. You don't have to prime the pump, you know, with pain or, you know, drugs or whatever. You could prime the pump with getting inspired. You know, sometimes I go on inspiration drives. Sometimes I need to listen to loud music or drive fast or, you know, I give myself permission to go fishing for that inspiration or I tether. You know, I go or I meditate and I allow myself to tether beneath my emotional weather if I am having too much going on in my head to allow me to feel connected to myself. I learn how to kind of drop down. My friend Marcia Sheldon really taught me a lot about this, dropping down beneath all of, you know, what's going on in the outer world and really learning how to be connected and tuned into the inner world.
You know, that is so interesting. I do in my psychotherapy practice, the dialectical behavior therapy, Marcia Linehan, you know, 5 things you see, 5 things you taste, 5 things you can touch. And because of the chaos that's inside the borderline personality disorder, you know what I mean? The lack of identity development, the polar, the black and whites and all that other stuff. So it's really interesting. I'm hearing you talking. I'm going, okay, well, that's actually, you can rev up in one direction. But like you said, toward the end, it actually is a almost a meditative, you know, self-connective type of method.
Yeah. And through the IFS lens of borderline, you know, what's so amazing about IFS is that it's non-pathologizing. So it's a way to really see someone who's a borderline as, wow, they have a really intense firefighter protective part that is so easily triggered. And, you know, and it's triggered to protect this very vulnerable part inside that feels so unsafe and with themselves and with the world.
Yeah. Yeah, the abandonment and some other fears as well.
And it doesn't know how to get out of that loop, you know, and it's really needing, you know, that just becomes this like PTSD response in some way. The world isn't safe, you're unsafe, either you're with me or not, you know, I'm unsafe. I've been around a lot of those people. I've had experience with them.
How have you worked with clients that maybe had a super skewed worldview and it was that skew? And it could be just a skew about themselves. You know, I think that's what you've been really alluding to. But how do you nudge people more toward a centered post, if you will, if you find them way out on the end?
Well, you know, I've had some clients that have had some addiction issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a real big fan of Gabor Maté. I don't know if you're familiar with his work. And one of the things he really has taught me is that people with addiction have just created a bond with their medication that's more of a bond than they've ever had with another human. And they don't know how to have that same kind of consistency and that same level of sense of safety, of this, and knowing what you can count on. They don't know how to have that with people, but they know how to have that with their substance. And it's real, it's like, oh, okay, well, there needs to be a compromise made. It's like the part that says, sorry, I'm not going to give up my only one consistent connection. You know, there needs to be compassion for that. And I've been able to really help, you know, some of my clients shift out of those places and get, you know, more help than just working with me, but make the choice to do that, not be forced into that, by deciding that they wanted to really learn how to be their best friend to themselves, that they really want to learn how to not be so self-abandoning, you know, and to learn how to love themselves. Excellent. Say that again.
Good. Well, let's see who's on. Maybe it's just Cindy. Are you still on?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, well, good. We're
still here. Fascinated. I'm really.
You're so mesmerized.
I'm really hearing what she's saying.
She was having a petit mal seizure on the other end. You just couldn't see it.
I like what you were saying about getting underneath, you know, with yourself. And I think as a coach, sometimes I think as the skill gets deeper, as the coaching skill gets deeper, that's one of our tasks, is to constantly be one layer underneath as we work with people. And I like how you made that analogy to people in the moment getting underneath, you know, just the outside world, just getting underneath it to find some answers.
Yeah, it's really imperative that people know how to go inside themselves to get respite. You know, most people don't know how to feel safe inside themselves. There's too many scary thoughts or feelings, and they don't know how to make it safe to just be. And we find a way to be safe within yourself and to feel okay to be with yourself no matter what you're feeling. So I do many meditations with most of my clients where we practice that, and we practice tethering and being with and loving themselves. And it's really important to have these experiences where you're having it, right? As opposed to just talking about it. And my friend Catherine Weber Thomas really honed that in for me. Really need to experience something to get it. And that's a big part of the process, is teaching people. It's like they just need repetitive practice. You just need to know how to have what you want to feel right now. You're allowed to feel it. You're allowed to call in parts of you. You're also allowed to call, you know, unblend from parts of you. You know, we get triggered constantly, and we're allowed to not have to be, you know, motivated and pushed and moved and manipulated by our triggers. We're allowed to embrace them and put an arm around them and listen to them and take them into consideration and then speak for them instead of from them, which is a real IFS concept.
Real quick, I know when I was in the area, Los Angeles area, a few weeks ago, you and I were talking, and you really quick, I know we only have about 6 more minutes left, but you were involved in a dream group. Can you talk about that a little bit in terms of your coaching, or is that something?
Sure.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
You know, the dream group is actually for me, and I think I spoke to you about my teacher, Marcia Sheldon. And she's been a teacher of voice dialogue for many years, which is something I did with her and also studied through her, through this Southern California Voice Dialogue Institute. But she does dream interpretation and has done a lot of shamanic work. So I've been in a dream group with a lot of women, a beautiful group of women for the past 7 years. So we come together and we bring dreams that we've had over the course of a month or a couple months. And what's so phenomenal is that, you know, there's usually common themes. And you start to learn over the course of time that there's a meta story occurring at the same time there's a minor story occurring.
Mm.
And there's certain archetypal patterns that people experience.
Go.
And there's certain types of dreams they have at different stages of their lives. And it's such an honor to be able to witness that and be in a group of older women who are kind of really holding space for me. I call them my aunties because they're all so loving and kind and caring, and so I get to be fed so I can help feed others, which is another thing I teach people, is you really gotta to feed yourself in order to keep giving. You have to know how to receive. You have to be allowed to have needs and get taken care of.
Wow, that's really
nice. That's a very good point. Yes, love that. You have Jen, you have this mesmerizing voice. Like, it's almost has a meditative quality to it. And it's just wonderful to listen to you. I'm thinking about, I don't know if you've ever done storytelling yourself, but you would be a fabulous storyteller and do some tapes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I could just listen.
Yeah, I've been working really with the blocks in me that have been afraid. Yeah. I've been asked about 4 or 5 times in the past couple months if I had any downloadable meditations. Yeah. And I've been really working parts of me that have been afraid to move forward with that, so I could just do it for people.
Oh,
I think that's one of my intentions for next year.
I think you should put some of what just the stuff you're talking about today with us in the short period of time, if you could put that into tapes, you know, where you just really just talk, just talk and tell a story. I think it'd be very, very effective. I would definitely listen to it. I'm so relaxed after listening to you.
I know, right? We're going to have to
really
hang out.
Wonderful.
Next time I come to LA, we'll have to all hang out. Y'all can hang out.
I can't wait.
That'd be fabulous.
But
we'll have a wonderful time.
Yeah. We're at a couple of minutes to the
Thank you so much, Jen, for coming on today. I hope you can join us again. And
I would love that. I feel such a kinship with you all, and I'm so pleased and honored that you would invite me to share myself and my story with you. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate everything you're doing.
And keep up the good
work. For
people
out there who are connected to this work. I will, and you as well.
Thank you so much.
All right, Jen, we'll talk to you soon. Yeah, bye-bye. Well, folks, Jen can be reached on her website at intuitive-artists.com. And very nice website, very well done, very complete and thorough with a lot of the things she talked about today and more. And, of course, Cindy's can be reached. Go ahead, Cindy, give your contact information.
Website wisdomfoods.com, and also reached by phone at 714-943-6206. And I do business startup coaching, personal development, as well as clinical nutrition or nutrition wellness coaching. So thank you all for listening in today. She was a fabulous guest. I hope we can have her again sometime, Bruce. And wishing everybody a great day.
Yeah, for sure. And I can be reached at www.conciergecoach.net and at 214-431-2032 for your executive coaching, sober and recovery coaching needs. So don't hesitate to contact me there. All right, everybody. Well, again, thanks again for listening. We'll see y'all hear from us next week here on the Concierge Coaches Show at LA Talk Radio. Don't forget to see our Facebook page, our Facebook at Concierge Coaches Show, and my Twitter also at Concierge Coach. So take care. We'll see y'all next week, and have a good one.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.